As a high-performance athlete, do you feel your self-worth is judged based on your sporting prowess and achievements? Well, there's a person in there, isn't there? And that's the basis of today's episode, to ensure that you're judged on your inner worth rather than external value. This is the Thrive Podcast, the podcast which gives you the opportunity to, well, thrive. So welcome to another edition of the Thrive Podcast, the podcast that looks at wellness and mental health for professional and competitive athletes. Now today we've got a very special guest because she's obviously very well known in the field of mindset, following on from being the former Miss Universe. She's actually a winning mindset coach, and she was, I know, married to a former top 10 tennis player, Paradorn Srishapan. It is with delight that I can introduce Natalie Glebova. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Keith, Alan. Nice to speak to you guys, and thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
It's a great joy to have you. Why don't I dive in with the first question?
All right, let's do it.
Natalie, in 2005, you won Miss Universe. And I think that's something that so many girls around the world dream of and very few achieve. And my question, when you suddenly achieve this dream and you're like on top of the world, how does that affect your well-being?
Well, it certainly is a rare occurrence to win Miss Universe because there are only 70 of us in the world that currently hold this title. So yes, it is definitely much more rare to win a beauty pageant like that than, I suppose, even the Super Bowl or something like that, being in the Super Bowl. But I'm definitely, this whole experience has opened up incredible opportunities for me. It has taken me, as I call it, on a scenic route towards my life's true purpose, which I'm sure I would have found anyway. But as I always say, winning Miss Universe just took me on the most scenic route, right? So I got to experience and do the most. Has it affected my mental health and mental wellness? Of course, winning at such a young age, I was only 23, and having such an impressive title kind of placed on my shoulders, it was a lot to cope with. And I have to say, that year being Miss Universe, I always describe it as the most incredible year of my life, but also as the toughest year of my life. So yes, there was definitely a lot of psychological battles going on in my mind and with myself. So I grew a lot in that year, though.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because it really reminds me of athletes that sometimes, like, they train hard out of the blue, they win a big event in tennis or Grand Slam, they get to the NBA, and we grow up and we think, when I achieve that, I'm going to be happy. That's everything I ever wanted. So what are the challenges when you actually achieve that?
Well, exactly that is, when you achieve something like that, actually in pageants, we usually train how to win in a pageant, right? But nobody actually trains you what to do after. Nobody trains you how to cope with the pressure, how to cope with the expectations, with the insane travel schedule, with being jet lagged, with being lonely. And that's exactly what I experienced. I think in my first year, I traveled to over 25 countries and I was constantly jet lagged. I think I was getting sick a lot because of all the different time zones and climates and different foods. So just mostly being away from my friends and family was really difficult at that young age. Besides, I haven't been on my own like that for, ever since I was a kid. So it was very difficult to cope with that loneliness aspect. Besides that, I also gained a little bit of weight during my year. So in the first half of the year, I gained about 10 kilos, which in the pageant world, it does seem to be a lot. And it definitely reflected on my self-esteem, on my feeling of self-worth. However, about halfway through the experience, the year of being Miss Universe, I managed to get myself under control and I managed to come back and drop the extra pounds and give up my crown in the same way that I won the crown. But I think everything from loneliness to just having that expectation placed by random people who I didn't even know, people online who were writing comments and who were holding me up to this ideal standard of how I should look, how I should speak, you know, my weight, everything was being criticized and everything was being judged. And of course, that kind of took that toll. And that's where the weight gain happened. And of course, some depression also came about for a few months here and there. But as I managed to get myself under control and managed to observe myself in my feelings and my emotions, I was able to come back stronger than ever.
I wanted to ask you, Natalie, it's interesting what you were saying, because as Alan said, in very, very similar way with regard to winning something huge. And in the sports world, it's the same thing, because there is this pressure to always be this, if you like, perfect person. And in some ways, in your world, and I don't mean this in a bad way, this perfect object, if you like, this object of beauty. How do you actually remove yourself from the pressure of the outside world into always being this perfect person, this perfect object?
Lately, I've been definitely thinking more about the subject and getting more into the spirituality and the Eastern philosophies that are very prevalent here in Thailand. You know, the Buddhist philosophies. I've also studied a little bit of Vedic philosophies of ancient India. And the more I read about it, the more I realize that we have this kind of persona that we project out into the world, call it the ego or whatever you want to call it. I think there are other words for it in different languages. But if we only identify with that persona, then we are bound to have a very unhappy life, because there's always going to be pressure and expectation and people saying you should be like that, or you should do something like that, or you should have something, right? So instead of focusing on that outer personality that we project to the world, and even in our minds that we create the story about ourselves, right? Who I am, you know, what is my religion? What is my nationality? This sort of ego persona. We need to focus more on the internal qualities that really add value to us as a human being. So internal qualities, they can be things like your values or your best personality traits or things that are not even less material than that, right? So things like your soul and your internal being, right? That I am-ness, so to speak, that is kind of connects all of us together if we dig a little bit deeper beneath the surface. And so the more I feel that we connect to that deeper vertical dimension of ourselves, the more we understand that anything on the outside does not matter as much as what actually matters on the inside. And I know for example, in my industry, a lot of the times what's valued is the outer qualities, like your height and your weight and the, you know, the shape of your face and the shape of your body and the hair and so many beauty qualities. And athletes might also be valued for their speed, their strength, you know, their score, whatever it may be, right? So if we only attach the sense of value of ourselves to those outer qualities, we're always going to suffer, because those qualities are not meant to last. Those qualities are not things that are going to be with us forever, right? Beauty fades, strength fades, skills also diminish with time, and athletic prowess, I suppose, also goes down with time. And if we only attach that feeling of self-worth to those outer qualities, then we're always going to be chasing that perfection that never actually exists. And then we need to focus more on the inner qualities that make us feel, wow, I'm disciplined, I am passionate, I am, you know, reliable, all of those things that make you feel worthy, that are always going to be there. Keith, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you how, but you kind of alluded to that. But as a former Miss Universe, obviously, people would think that you did value yourself. As a top tennis player, a top athlete, the outside world thinks you value yourself. But the truth is, it's opposite. It's often the opposite. And without speaking for you, of course, I'd like to know why you think this presumption is so erroneous.
Mm-hmm. I think that most people look at athletes and models and superstars on their Instagram accounts or on TV, and they think, wow, they have a perfect life. They have something that everybody wants. They're achievers, and they won prizes, and they won top awards. And again, that's association with placing those kinds of attributes on the feeling of a person's self-worth is wrong, because those things are not something that you're going to be able to take for the rest of your life and even beyond your life, right? So we need to always think, okay, this is a human being. Every person is a human being. They have their faults. They have their insecurities. Everyone has their doubts. So understanding that every person is going through their own growth journey and their own battle internally with how they want to be perceived, how, you know, happy they are. So I think we need to also be compassionate to all of those people who might seem like they're on top of the world, but understand that every person has their own issues. They have their own self-criticisms. They have their own self-judgments, their own problems. So absolutely everyone deals with it. And I think people need to understand that it's not just them who are suffering through some kind of depression or sense of lack of self-worth. It's everyone, absolutely everyone does.
Agreed. Natalie, you mentioned a few things that, like, you struggled with after you won Miss Universe. Knowing what you know now, how would you tackle these struggles? You mentioned loneliness. You mentioned the lifestyle of traveling and jet lag. And also you hinted at, like, always being judged, maybe being criticized on social media. So these three areas, how would you now, like, relate to them or cope with them, knowing what you know?
I think really it happened with time and maturity that I was able to cope with a lot of these things. And of course, a lot of my clients who come to me, whether it's in the field of pageantry or not, I always tell them that, yes, you're going to have these growing pains, these journeys in life that are going to challenge you and push you towards the breaking point. But remember that these breaking points are actually opportunities to reevaluate yourself, to reevaluate your priorities in life, and really just understand who you are and, you know, who do you want to become and what do you want out of life? So that moment in my life was a blessing in disguise, actually, as most of our obstacles in life are. I suppose everyone can say that in retrospect, it's always a blessing in disguise. But how I was able to overcome and now change the way that I think about any of these challenges is that, again, I practice a lot of spirituality. I practice a lot of going into the present moment, practice a lot of breath work, body awareness, things like that. So in moments when I am feeling a little bit lonely or uncomfortable, if I'm far away from my family, sitting in a hotel room with nothing to do and, you know, a fridge full of snacks that before I would have just raided that fridge and eaten it out of pure emotional suffering. But now I focus more on, you know, actually asking myself, how do I feel in this moment? Am I really going for those snacks, or am I reaching out for unhealthy habits because I really want those things, or is it because I just want to make myself feel better, right? So identifying my feelings of loneliness or sadness or anxiety, whatever it may be, I still have those feelings. Absolutely. Especially when I travel and I'm away from my family, when I have to have a long flight, I have anxiety, right? Sometimes I feel that. And so I go inwards and I focus on my body awareness. I focus on my breath. I take in a few conscious deep breaths to understand, okay, there is no problem right now. I'm breathing right now. My body is here. So that is okay. And then slowly I start to take a little bit more objective look at my feelings, and I separate myself from those feelings, understanding that I am not those feelings, right? I'm just experiencing those feelings for the following reasons. Sometimes journaling might help, you know, just sitting down, opening a journal and writing down, this is how I'm feeling right now. This could be the reasons why I'm feeling like that. How can I feel better right now? And so, you know, all of these little coping strategies, over the years, I've learned them and I started applying them, and they're working really well. I have to say, it helps a lot.
You know, with this whole notion of social media and people commenting on you and saying things about you, nasty things and nice things, perhaps as well. Do you ever use the notion that people often like to use other people in a way to reflect how they feel about themselves? Would that be a good tool, do you think, to say, in order to get over that kind of abuse and online abuse that's so prevalent today?
Absolutely. You're so right, Keith, because the moment you recognize that other people's words and projections are really just a manifestation of how they feel on the inside and their own need to make themselves feel better because of whatever reason that they are feeling bad and whatever reason they feel they need to lash out at you. The moment you realize it has nothing to do with you and all to do about the person who's speaking those words, that's when everything changes and you can start to take, again, a little bit more of an objective approach and realize that your opinion of yourself is the only one that truly matters, because people are going to have all kinds of opinions. You can't please absolutely everybody. Some people will like you, some people will not. And you might annoy some people and other people will think you're absolutely brilliant, right? So it's okay, because you know, you can take constructive criticism, or you can even take criticism that makes you feel that, okay, you know what? I can understand why they think that and I believe that. So that's something I can improve and work on and evolve myself on. But if it's something that you simply know is absolutely not true and does not resonate with you, it simply can be written off as just somebody else's opinion. And yeah, I think you're so right to say that really it's the projection of people's own insecurities that usually get thrown out there and projected on other people.
So in the fashion world, like, there's a lot of rejection too, right? Not everyone wins competitions, not everyone wins auditions. It's similar to the sports world where not everyone wins a competition. Is there any advice you give your clients how to deal with setbacks, rejections?
Yeah, it's a really delicate balance, actually. I had just given a talk to a group of Miss Global contestants, which I was hosting this pageant in Bali, Indonesia, just last week. And I was able to give a workshop on this topic. And I started with asking the girls, you know, who believes here that they absolutely deserve to win? They know they can win. You know, some girls raised their hands, and then I asked them, who here just is letting go of all expectations and just wants to have fun? You don't know what's going to happen. Some girls raised their hands. And then, you know, really, it's a matter of both, right? It's a matter of believing you can do it, absolutely having that strong winning mindset that, yes, I've trained, I've prepared, I know what it takes, I know I have what it takes. But at the same time, letting go of any particular expectation of any result. Because when you try to control the outcome, it's almost like you are paddling upstream on a river, right? You're forcing something that doesn't flow. But if you've done everything that you can to prepare and just completely surrender, right? That spiritual concept of surrender, where you say, I will do my best, but I release all control and all expectation of what the final result is going to be. Then you'll find that it's so much easier. It takes a lot of pressure off. And you'll be happier regardless of the results. You'll be happier if you win and if you don't win, because it might be a pleasant surprise, right? I always say it's better to be pleasantly surprised than surprisingly disappointed, because you kind of want to, of course, you want to believe that it's possible. And yes, absolutely anything is possible. But you need to be prepared for any result and take it gracefully, with dignity, and with surrender. That it is the thing that needed to happen. It happened like that. And I can try another time. I can do better next time. So I think it's a delicate little balance that you have to observe between knowing that you can do it, but also surrendering to absolutely anything that is going to happen.
Would you agree? Just following on from that, would you say, because obviously in your business, you're very much basing your success on somebody else's judgment, whereas in a sport, you can prepare all your life. When you go on court, when you go into a boxing ring, you are in control to some degree, to a major degree. Is there, therefore, a greater level of self-berating after defeat in the sports world than your world? And how would you recommend an athlete cope with that?
Well, yes, you might be in control of your own mindset, of how you choose to look at a situation, how you choose to think, what you choose to believe, but you're not in control of the other person. So you don't know what the other person is thinking and how is their mindset, right? So again, it's just a matter of being prepared for absolutely any possibility that might happen based on that day, based on also, you know, there's still judges in sports as well. And some of those sports are very subjective, just like a beauty pageant, right? Where, let's say figure skating, for example, right? Where one judge might say, oh, I like this performer, but this competitor, and another judge will like somebody else. So, of course, in sports that are much more quantifiable and measurable based on your timing, based on your performance, just those markers, then I think you have a little bit more control. But again, you are up against a number of other competitors, right? And you don't know what their mindset is like. And you don't know, you know, maybe they're also saying, I'm going to win, I'm going to be the number one. And then you're also saying, I'm going to be number one. And then energetically, you're kind of fighting for that number one spot. And maybe somebody else who is just like, I'm here to have fun. I'm just here. I did my best. I trained my best. I'm not really expecting anything, but I'm just going to have fun and do my best. And they will just zoom right past you and end up winning. I don't know. I'm comparing this, of course, to the beauty pageant world, where I've seen that happen a lot. And I've seen when in one pageant, for example, a contestant who was the strongest mindset, the one who said, I came to this pageant thinking I already won, right? And other girls were not as strong. So she zoomed past everyone. She ended up winning because she had that winning mindset over everybody else. But in another pageant, there were three equally fantastic ladies who equally thought that they deserved to win. And all of them were fighting with their mindset for that number one spot. And then who ended up winning is someone who was just there with no expectations, just having fun and saying, okay, ladies, while you're fighting for this number one spot in your mind, I'm going to go ahead and take it all. So again, I don't have that much experience with those types of sports where you are judged only on your performance. But I still believe that having that expectation might derail you mentally, because you might even think, oh, I only accept this placement, this level of performance, and nothing else. And if for whatever reason you fail to live up to those expectations, that's when depressions can happen and your mental health will suffer. So I always think, just do your best, perform at your best, expect absolutely anything, and take every outcome as a blessing and as a gift.
I love that. At the same time, we of course have a flow of emotions, and I believe when you talk about surrender, you don't mean that like we should suppress any negative emotions, right? Like, so how do we deal with sadness or slight disappointment, even if we have this mindset that like we accept any outcome?
I think it's very important to express your feelings, because suppressing your feelings can result in even physical ailments, as we know, right? And it might end up that we bottle all up and then an explosion will happen later on, or an implosion, where your mental health will suffer a lot more. So if you are feeling any particular emotion, such as grief, sadness, loneliness, anger, whatever it may be, it's absolutely normal. So not beating yourself up about it is really would be step number one, and just allowing yourself to feel what you're feeling without adding on to saying, oh, you're such a loser for feeling like that. Why are you feeling like that? Winners don't feel like that. It's okay. All human beings feel like that. Even the top people in the world that we can consider the best winners in the world, they all experience those feelings. So understanding that it's normal and it's okay will give yourself that relief immediately, that, okay, I'm allowed to feel this way. And then just observing those feelings and kind of allowing you to go through the natural process of it. Sometimes if you're feeling anger, I know I go to the ocean and sometimes go underwater and, you know, let out a good scream if that's something that that you feel like doing. And sometimes I do. I remember even a couple of weeks ago, I had that feeling where I just wanted to go to one of those rage rooms, you know, where you break things and you just go for it. Unfortunately, we don't have them here in Thailand, but I ended up going to one of those playgrounds with my daughter where they have trampolines, they have these soft Lego blocks. So I just went and I jumped on the trampolines, I threw the Lego blocks. So I really allowed to that anger to come out, and it helped a lot. You know, it's, I think it's a healthy way to release your anger. If you want to cry, you know, scream, cry. I've done that too. Scream into a pillow. Anything that you feel that is a healthy way, that's obviously not hurting anybody else, is a good way to deal with your emotions. Sometimes you can express it by, I don't know, if you play an instrument, play something, or write a poem, or just scribble in your journal, draw something, paint something, whatever it is. There's just so many ways you can let those emotions out. I hope I'm not being too revealing over here.
No. It's awesome. It's really awesome.
Okay.
So you sometimes talk about self-compassion, like on your blog, and being kind to yourself. And I'd love you to talk about that a little bit, because I feel that athletes and any form of high performers, anyone in the fashion industry, film industry, they're often very harsh to themselves. And we talked about them feeling judged all the time. Are there any tools that you recommend your clients with regards to self-compassion?
Definitely. Few tools would have to be some of the spiritual tools that I mentioned, which is just simply understanding that who you are has nothing to do with your status, your career, your title, the number on the scoreboard, and understanding that eternal, timeless presence inside of you that is kind of, I don't know, akin to a divine being almost, right? Because we are these divine souls, that's what I believe at least, that are having a human experience. And the more you meditate, the more you go inwards to introspect on those kinds of concepts or philosophies, the more you start to feel that peace, that presence, that love that we're all made of. And understanding that you are that love, that peace, that presence, right? That compassion. When you understand that, you will stop valuing yourself and judging yourself on all of those outer qualities and outer performance markers. And you will start valuing yourself for that depth, for that incredible timelessness and power that you actually have inside of you. And besides the spiritual aspect, you know, the meditation and listening to a lot of these podcasts like this, and from reading a lot of spiritual books from fantastic spiritual teachers that I myself have learned a lot from, like The Power of Now, of Eckhart Tolle, of course, you know, and so on. You know, just really stop, you need to stop setting specific goals and really live more in line with your priorities. And this is what I kind of started learning to do recently, because when you set a specific goal, if you make it, that's great. But if you don't make it, you will be beating yourself up a lot about it. So instead, you can set some objectives, you can set some benchmarks to which you aspire to get to. But really, on a daily basis, do everything that falls in line with your main priorities in life. And this is what I do. I just sit down with my journal and I write from 1 to 10 or 1 to 15 my main priorities in life. And then I act on those priorities daily. So it makes me a little bit less of a perfectionist, where I have to hit a number of something, of the check marks that I have to check off on my list. But instead I say, have I done something that falls in line with my priority number one, which is my family? Have I spent enough time? Have I done something to be that exceptional mother that I want to be? Have I done something today, which is my priority number two, which is my writing and my coaching? Have I done something to live up to that priority? And then so on. I go down my list and I check off to see, what have I done that make me feel that, yes, I am living in line with my values, with my priorities, with all of the things that are most important to me, instead of just setting a set goal and only being happy when I achieve that goal. Because sometimes goals take years to achieve. You might set an objective for yourself and say, okay, I can achieve that whenever the time is right. I'm going to do everything that I can. My priority is my performance, you know, my athleticism, being my best self. That is my priority. And then just living in line with that. I think that takes a lot of the pressure off.
But what about that?
You mentioned meditation. Sorry, Keith. You mentioned meditation, and so many people know meditation is good. They start meditating and then they fall off track. Can you share how you started with meditating and what you recommend people to do if they struggle to create a habit?
Right. Well, again, I don't make meditation my goal, because the moment I make it a goal, it's something that I can fail on and definitely give up from one day to the next. So I set it as my priority and I simply write it down on a piece of paper that meditation, mindfulness, and spirituality is the number two priority in my life, actually. And so on a daily basis, I only tell myself that I have to do just sitting down and do it for 1 minute, right? So if I can do it for 1 minute, usually I end up doing it for many more minutes. But the fact is that I know that 1 minute is absolutely doable. If I set my goal and just say, I need to meditate for 30 minutes every day, I know myself. I'm such a rebel. I will go against even my own set goals, right? Nobody told me to do it, but I will say, who says you have to meditate? I can choose whatever I want. We have free will, or at least I think we do. And then I will break that promise to myself because I just want to rebel against even myself. But if I just tell myself, hey, Natalie, you say your priority is mindfulness and meditation and spirituality. So, you know, do you want to sit down and just meditate for 1 minute? Yeah, I really do, right? Because it's important to me. And then if I do that 1 minute, usually I feel that, oh, this is so great. I want to keep going. So I end up doing 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And that's how it goes every day. I am not going to say that I meditate absolutely every day. But when I do go to yoga, I kind of make that my priority as well, that I go to yoga, let's say 5 times a week. And even if I don't meditate in the morning, I know I will go to yoga and I will do some form of meditation there as well. So finding how to incorporate your intentions and your objectives into your daily lifestyle that becomes part of your daily routine or part of what you want to do is actually much better than telling yourself, do this or else you suck, you're a loser, you didn't live up to that, right? So it's just taking that pressure off yourself and saying, you don't have to do it, but do you choose to do it, right? That's what I always ask myself in the morning. Do I want to get up and meditate? Well, I don't have to, but I want to because I choose to. I have a choice always.
Preference.
So that helps a lot.
Preferences rather than demands is the old adage. But what I wanted to ask you, I know we're coming towards the end here, and we've been very generous with your time, Natalie, is the notion with athletes. I don't know how it is in the pageant world, please excuse me, but an athlete, a tennis player, a football player, whatever, that once they've finished that match, that tournament, it's on to the next one. So therefore, even if they win it, they haven't got time to enjoy the moment, and they have to, they're on this journey of constantly seeking more, which in itself cannot be overly healthy for mental health, for wellness. Mm. How do you strike the balance with that, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I suppose that goes across all industries and all people when they seek happiness or fulfillment based on an outcome or based on a goal, right? So it's not just athletes, and I see it everywhere, literally in every industry, every person that I know who places their fulfillment and satisfaction and sense of worth on that final outcome, they're going to suffer mentally because that sense of fulfillment is never going to come. The only fulfillment is going to come when you're enjoying the present moment, when you're enjoying the process. And again, we keep coming back to that whole present moment awareness, that breath, that body awareness, the whole gratitude for everything that you're experiencing in the moment. You need to train yourself to come back to that. Each moment is an opportunity, right? Every moment in our life is an opportunity to say it's just a passing moment on the way to something else, or this is an end in itself. This moment is an opportunity for me to express my gratitude, to express being alive, to derive some pleasure from it. Just by being here, whether it's in the training rink or whether it's on the playing surface, you need to experience that moment and say, I am happy now. I am doing what I love. I'm doing what I chose to do. So find that fulfillment and derive that satisfaction from the process instead of always seeking for happiness that's coming when you achieve something or when you win something. So again, it's just a matter of practicing, right? Mindfulness, taking a moment, taking a second to just take everything in, right? Everything that you see, observe your senses, everything that you see, everything that you hear, smell, taste, and touch. And the moment you become aware of all of your senses, including your breathing and saying, wow, I'm so happy that I'm alive. I have this human experience that lets me enjoy this moment in my life. That's when you can reprogram yourself and start to enjoy the process rather than always seeking that thrill of achieving something at the end or that win or that victory. And it takes time. It takes time, effort, and patience. And I think sometimes it's a lifelong journey because we constantly need to remind ourselves of that, because if we don't, we tend to get carried away and then we fall back into our old patterns. So I think it's great that you guys are doing this podcast because it's a wonderful reminder for all the athletes who are listening to just keep it in the present moment. Keep deriving pleasure out of the process, right? And I'm sure that all of your guests have kind of alluded to the same thing, didn't they? They always say, everyone says the same thing, but it's a good reminder. We need to hear it over and over again.
And everyone has a fresh take, and it was really wonderful to get your insights and your take. Where can our audience learn more about you, Natalie?
Sure. I am definitely a public figure who is out there on the internet, on Instagram, Natalie Glubova. you can visit my website, natalielubova.com. And there you'll find some tools that might be helpful to you as a person who is striving to be a winner, to awaken the winner inside, which everyone has that winner inside of them. So I have quizzes, I have free ebooks, I have courses, which don't only pertain to pageants. I have many different tools for self-confidence, self-love, and most importantly, how to be and feel like a winner every single day. So it's out there.
Well, I certainly recommend everybody to go to all these options and learn more about your messages, etc. One last thing, Natalie, if you could sum it all up in a minute, you're giving your advice on how to be mentally well, enjoy life, be happy. In just one minute, how would you sum it up?
I would say that you need to check yourself for your sense of entitlement in general, because I know a lot of people who are listening to this podcast might fall into the category of high achievers, high performers, maybe even perfectionists. And I would say check your entitlement, because the moment you achieve something great, immediately our sense of entitlement goes up and we expect certain things that other people need to give us, but also we have a sense of entitlement and expectations from ourselves. So check in to see, how are you feeling? Are you still down to earth? Are your feet still touching the earth? And are you still that same person who, when they started the journey and how they were in order to achieve that greatness, are you still that same person? Because you still need to work hard. You still need to be reminded every day and take the right choices and still maintain that mindfulness and awareness, because winning something or achieving something does not necessarily mean that the work is done and now forever you're going to be the great one. You still need to maintain those same qualities that got you to where you are, and you need to practice, continue practicing, continue to evolve yourself, continue to strive to be better, but not in the sense of a perfection, but in the sense of, why is this important to me? Why am I doing this? Is this still in line with my priorities and my biggest values in life? So that would be my message.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Natalie, thanks so much for joining the Thrive Show.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Do head over to the Thrive website. That's www.thrive, spelt THR, the digit one, VE.space, where you can sign up for further giveaways and, of course, tips. That's www.thrive, spelt THR1VE.space. After all, this is your space to thrive.